tonight, millions of people are gathering to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And have you ever asked yourself, which Jesus are they celebrating? You know, when you ask people, who is Jesus, you get a lot of different responses. Let me show you some pictures that people have, different views of Jesus. Some people think of Jesus as the baby glowing Jesus up here on the screen, and some people view Jesus that way. This is a really famous picture. You may have seen this metrosexual Swedish Jesus right here, looking up like he's trying to compose poetry or something. This one's kind of weird to me. The heart beating Jesus, that's just strange to me. Then there's ATM Jesus, who wants to make you rich, right? There's homeboy Jesus, who's a t-shirt worn by famous people like Brad Pitt and Pamela Anderson. There's left-wing Jesus, who wouldn't hurt a fly, and right-wing Jesus, who would. There's, I'm not saying anything more about that or I'll get in trouble. And then often we in North America, we picture Jesus as a white North American guy. Someone said to me after last night, like surfer Jesus, right? That's how we picture Jesus. But none of those pictures are actually accurate portrayals of Jesus. The problem with that picture, and there's a lot of problems with it, is number one, Jesus is not a white guy. Jesus was born in the Mideast just over 2,000 years ago in a little hamlet named Bethlehem. Scholars think Jesus looks something like this, our next picture here. They think that's a more accurate portrayal of Jesus. Jesus looked like an average Mideastern guy. But there was nothing average about Jesus. For the last few weeks here at Saanich, we've been looking at a verse in Isaiah, and we've been looking at the names that Isaiah gives Jesus. Isaiah was a person in the Old Testament. There's a whole book about him. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Isaiah said this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Who is Jesus? Isaiah says Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I smile when I hear Jesus being called the Prince of Peace, because I don't think there was anything peaceful about that first Christmas. Think about it for a minute. A teenage girl named Mary finds out she's pregnant by God. That is tough to explain. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes, her fiancé. You're engaged and your fiancé tells you she's pregnant. You know you're not the father. It's not your baby. That news would be devastating. You can imagine Joseph saying, "Mary, how could you? Why, Mary? Why? We're engaged." And Mary is mumbling something about God. There's no peace there. There's just tension. And then you move 9 months ahead. Mary is full term when Joseph has to return to his hometown of Bethlehem as part of a census, and Mary went with him. Now, when Joseph Googled the route, he would have noticed the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem was 157 kilometers. 9 month pregnant fiance on a donkey for 157 kilometers. There's nothing peaceful about that trip. I like this picture. Throw up the next picture. Mary's looking away, and Joseph, he's just like, "When will we be done?" Right? Like, just get me to Bethlehem. And as they pull into Bethlehem, I can just hear Mary saying, "Joseph, get me a place to stay. I'm about to have this baby." And Joseph pulls into every hotel, but everything's booked. And can't you just hear Mary? "Joseph, find me a place and find me a place now." And finally, Joseph negotiates with the guy to stay in his barn. If you're a married guy, Imagine for a moment how you think Joseph's lack of planning would have gone over in that moment. Mary goes into labor surrounded by barn animals. Never mind a home birth, this is a barn birth. This would like be like giving birth in one of the stables at the Sandston Fair. All right? There's no midwife, there's no doula, there's no nitrous oxide, there's no epidural, there's no peace here, right? None. And on that night long ago, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was born. And the Bible says that after he was born, he was placed in a manger. A manger is a feed trough. Mary and Joseph placed their newborn baby in a trough that animals eat out of. While our nativity scenes at home may look quaint and peaceful, I would suggest to you that Mary and Joseph would not use the word peace to describe that first Christmas night. And if you flash forward to today, I would suggest that peace is not a word we use to describe our world today. Think about the people you know in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your school, or wherever you go. How many of those people do you know that are truly at peace? You probably know in your life people that are experiencing financial stress. I heard this week Canadians owe $1.78 for every dollar they make. There's no peace there. You probably know people that are experiencing relational stress or health stress. You probably know people that lack inner peace. The two words that describe Canadians today are overwhelmed and anxious. Not peaceful words. And then there's Christmas stress. Anybody experience stress this Christmas? Have you been to a mall? I was in a mall the other day, and I'm a very focused shopper in the mall. But I looked around, and the people there were about as unhappy as I was to be there. They were stressed. There's just something about this season that on one hand is joyous, on the other hand is stressful. And not only do individuals seem to lack peace today, all you have to do is turn on the news and you see a world that lacks peace. Now, our world lacking peace, we all know this, is nothing new. Into that world that lacked peace, Isaiah said a child would be born. A child who would be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again, who is Jesus? Jesus is that child. He's the one Isaiah was referring to. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the one who desires to give us wisdom and guidance and insight and direction. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He's the one who makes the invisible God visible. And he's the Prince of Peace. That term, that title, Prince of Peace, in the Hebrew, and the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, is Sar Shalom. Prince of Peace in Hebrew is Sar Shalom. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. Sar means the one who is in charge, the general, the ruler, the prince. It's the picture of a leader in charge. Tsar was used by the Romans and became Caesar and then became Caesar, like Julius Caesar, the one who is in charge. Tsar means the one who is in charge, the one who has the ability to do something. Shalom is a rich word. Our English word for peace basically means the absence of conflict or a sense of rest. Shalom means much more. It has a richer, more extensive meaning. Shalom means doesn't mean a peaceful, easy, restful feeling. Shalom means the presence of wholeness and completeness and deep peace. Anyone here longing for that in life? Anyone here longing for deep peace, wholeness, fulfillment, harmony? That's shalom. And most people long for those things because even though we lack shalom in our life, we were created to experience it. And here is the good news of Christmas. That shalom, that sense of fulfillment and completeness and harmony and deep peace that we long for and we strive for, is found in Jesus. Jesus is the Shar Shalom. He's the one in charge. Thus, he is able to have the ability to give us that sense of fulfillment and completeness and deep peace that we're longing for. In fact, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about Jesus coming to earth to bring shalom, especially between people and God. The story of Christianity is because of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection, we can experience peace with God. We can experience wholeness and harmony with God. We can experience the wholeness and fulfillment and peace that we so desperately crave. And here's an important truth for us this Christmas Eve. You can't experience the deep peace of God in your life if you don't first experience peace with God. You can't experience the deep peace and fulfillment of God in your life if you first don't experience peace with God. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said this: "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And this Christmas Eve, let me ask you, is your heart restless? Is it lacking peace? Is your soul thirsty for the shalom that Jesus can bring? To experience the fulfillment and the completeness and the peace that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give us, we first need to find our rest in God. And we find our rest in God by making a decision. A decision to open our lives to Jesus and say yes to following him. And the best way I know to do that and express that is simply to pray to him, to talk to him, and tell him you want to open your life to him and you want to follow him. And then once you've made that decision, you begin the journey of walking with Jesus through life. This Christmas Eve, let me ask you as I close, what is your next step when it comes to following Jesus? This Christmas Eve, what is your next step when it comes to following Jesus? Maybe your next step is to make the decision to follow him and experience that shalom in your life. Or maybe your next step is to find out more about him. If you want to find out more about him, let me tell you a couple of ways you can do that. Number one, if you were brought by a family member or a friend who regularly attends church, they can help direct you in the right direction and talk to you about Jesus. Secondly, we have some resource tables at the front here and by that back door and out in the foyer. And we have resources, and you can pick up some free resources and read and find out more about Jesus just simply by reading these resources. Or maybe you want to talk to somebody about following Jesus. And there's these cards in the chairs in front of you. If you fill one out and just leave it at the Connection Center out in the foyer, we will get in touch with you, and one of our staff or someone else would love to meet for coffee with you in January. My prayer this Christmas Eve is that each one of us will know the shalom Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can bring. And so let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Christmas Eve. Thank you on Christmas Eve we can experience your shalom. We can experience the fulfillment and the completeness and the deep peace that Jesus can bring. Thank you that we can gather here to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Father, you are the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for these moments we've had to celebrate with you. And I pray as we all leave here this Christmas Eve, we will be asking the question, what is our next step in getting to know Jesus, the Prince of Peace? In Jesus' name, amen.